This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends, and you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh,
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listened to Stephen Curtis Chapman's The Great Adventure, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
I want to see cats!
I wanted to kick everybody, and I didn't.
Hey,
I'm just killing.
Disgusting.
Okay,
little
bitch, watch this.
I love Bazinga.
Jesus Christ.
Bazinga. Losers, in other words.
Oh, you want to get in the bathtub?
Bazinga.
It's Sicario.
You got me straight tripping,
bro. Are you familiar with, like, Calvinism as a concept?
Calvinism.
Kevin, I'm a Christian wife. I am a good woman. Don't put these evil words in my mouth.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm a Christian wife, Caroline.
And I'm a Christian single, Kevin. We're here to have good Christian fun, single and wife alike. Good Christian fun.
For the full spectrum, from single to wife.
Good Christian Fun is finally where the culture heals and singles and wives talk to each other and have a dialogue.
We've been separated for too long.
It's a podcast about Christian pop culture, the movies, the music, the entertainment made by Christians. And just talking about, what is this? What happened here? What are they doing? Why? How?
What
How did
happened?
They do that?
Oh.
But we're not here to make you go to church or to make fun of your beliefs or bash them in any way, unless they are bad and mean.
Our guest says they are.
But we're just here to have fun. It's just all good fun. Caroline, how are you doing? We're recording this after the 4th of July. How'd you celebrate this wonderful country of ours that only grows in our affection every day?
I was in red, white, and blue, head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was dancing down the streets. I was doing a parade. I was having the best time. I did get to relax this weekend. I got to get out of my house, which was nice. And then today I printed off a 5-page list of therapists that are in my insurance. So my job is to call some of them. I tried it already. It didn't work.
That's a bad feeling when the therapist doesn't even pick up the call to see if
when one called me back, she was like, "So I'm not on this insurance anymore, but call me. We can work something out." I was like, She said cash only basis, and I was like, ew. I don't know about that one.
Quarters only.
So
what?
I think I'm not going to return that call.
No.
So, you know, that's sort of a little sampling of where I'm at. How are you doing, Kevin?
I haven't been to a therapist in 2 years, friend. And I don't plan on
therapy
going back.
Free for 2 years.
I graduated. And at the end of it, my therapist said, ladies and gentlemen, we got him. And then I walked down. I got my diploma. And I stood behind a banner that said, mission accomplished. All my anxiety, depression, fear, and anything that's wrong with me.
On the
character
USS
and integrity.
Mental health.
That's right.
Firing off torpedoes of growth.
On 4th of July, I got ice cream, and the girl at the ice cream place gave me a discount, but I don't know if it's because she was flirting with me or if it's because I'd actually met her before and I forgot about it. Has that ever happened to you?
At the ice cream store?
Yeah.
And did she say, hey, Kevin?
No.
Okay. I think I was flirting.
Oh, maybe. Interesting. Interesting.
I go back to that shop.
I am. Did I tell you about my 2020 plan to pivot from podcasting to become a creamfluencer?
No, you haven't told me about that. I don't like that. But no, tell me more. I shouldn't just start casting aspersions before we begin.
No, you know what? Maybe I'm going to leave that little nugget and maybe we can pick it up later because I don't like this energy that you're having towards creamfluencing right now. We're starting from a bad place.
Creamfluencer.
Okay, no, that's not better. It's not better.
I'm working with you.
There's a workshop. We're talking. You know, maybe this isn't the podcast where wives and singles finally come together.
Damn it. Yeah, I think this is the podcast where we proved that wives and singles will never get along.
Yeah, like Harry Met Sally classically said, wives and singles can't be friends. But we're here to talk about The Great Adventure, the Stephen Curtis Chapman album from 1992. Finally, we have to pay it respect and homage. But before we do that, we need to talk about Kevin. Okay, that's the guest intro. Friends and folks, they are the host of the Tiny Revolution podcast and the author of the book Bad Theology Kills Undoing Toxic Belief and Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. Everyone give it the hell up for Kevin Garcia!
A double dose of Kevin tonight.
Woo, Kevin.
Double Kevin.
Welcome.
Double your Kevin. Wow. Double your fun.
Yes. And that's a song from back in Chris Brown. Do you know what he did? Like, double your pleasure, double your fun.
Yeah.
That was Chris Brown. That was before I'm not allowed to listen to him. You know?
Yeah.
My rule with canceling.
So you're allowed to listen to a musician if it was before they committed a crime?
Yes.
If the song was
that's my rule.
At that point.
That's okay. That's why there's a lot of like things. Now, the thing, my rule is though, like R. Kelly is completely off the grid. Like, no.
Because his crimes transcend time.
He's been committing crimes a long time. So
that's why we can listen to the ABC at weddings and stuff like that.
But yes. Jackson 5, perfect.
Just fine.
I had a friend try to apply this logic to Roman Polanski. Because she's a very outspoken feminist, which I support and I'm an ally of. But she said, Rosemary's Baby is okay because he directed that before he committed the crimes.
Oh, and
I think it's immaterial to the timeline.
Well, maybe directors and music is so... I don't got room to speak about it.
Yeah.
Although I have been a wedding DJ and I will tell you, nothing gets the bitches on the floor. Like, don't stop till you get enough, you know?
But don't you think considerate couples now would make a note to the DJ, like, do all the hits, follow the crowd, but also if we could lay off the MJ, at least for this, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Anytime
I had a special request, I would not do it. But, wow.
Post Leaving Neverland, I did try to get a meme started where if you were at a wedding and they were playing a Michael Jackson song, you just like, you protest and take a selfie video of you not dancing while it happens. And there's like dads behind you going like this, like to Billie Jean or whatever.
I'm bummed we missed your justice meme taking off.
Hey! Kevin supporters justice
powerful
memes.
Campaign.
Yeah, that needs to be like a top, like you guys need to bring that in as like a very important topic of discussion.
That should be a corner. Yeah,
if that had taken off, maybe I wouldn't have had to turn to creamfluencing for my brand extension.
Well, there's still time.
Maybe I can merge them.
Not yet.
See, that sounds like something you'd find on OnlyFans, like the people who make a lot of money on Only. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course we do.
It's just Kevin eating ice cream and rating them. Clothes on.
Oh my god.
I'm putting more
clothes
on.
No, there's a market for that. You know there's a market for that.
He's not eating it like sexy or anything like that. It's just
well, that's just called Patreon. That's just called Patreon. Hey,
listeners, if you would subscribe to an OnlyFans where I eat sweets, treats, and other delicious goodies while putting on layers of clothes, at me. Please at me.
Yeah.
Does a creamfluencer include Oreos as well?
Well, it includes cookies and cream, which often has Oreos in it. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Good to know.
No, this all happened
all right,
because...
So, yeah, think about that in your votes, folks.
Vote your conscience.
Ballers?
Ballers?
Oh, my God.
I should put vote your conscience in there in that drop. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on the show today,
I am
friend.
So glad to be here. Thank you for having me. It's a joy and an honor and a pleasure.
What a fun time. Well, I would love to... You have to be good at this by now. You have to be so good. Yeah. Like I could probably ask you,
next.
Give us the 5 minute, give us the 10 minute, give us the hour long, if I want.
I have all three of them.
I bet.
Give us the one that's mostly about music. Give us the one that's mostly about dad.
Oh fuck, that one's the one mostly about dad. That's an hour and a half.
That's a long one. Yeah,
for all of us. So what you're telling me is you want me to come back on to keep talking about?
That's right. No, it's gonna. Yeah, we'll do that for an Irishman length episode of Good Christian Fun.
We'll all wear blue contacts.
Cool. I'm into that.
Disgusting.
Soy, my name is Kevin Miguel Garcia. I'm mixed race. I'm indigenous Mexican and Dutch Irish. So I look pale and I have a ginger beard, but I'm Mexican. It's very confusing. I know mixed race things are weird. I'm gender queer. So that means I'm like, as Britney Spears once said, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman. All I need is time.
I burned down my gym.
A moment. Oh, Britney. Also, do y'all follow her on Instagram? My God, what a fucking blessing.
Of course, yes.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm rooting for her.
We all are. Yeah. She's
set her free.
Yeah, she is free. Anyways, so my mother... worship leader growing up in our lovely little country non-denom evangelical church thing. Uncle was the pastor, met Jesus at age 9, you know, grew up, we're a military family, got 3 brothers. And so we had lived out on 4 acres of land, like went to a poor elementary school. We went to like so poor, like we had to send in toilet paper to the school because they did not have the money to buy toilet paper in our schools. That's how fucked up we were in the country. Grew up in Clarksville, Tennessee in Montgomery County. So like way out there. We weren't actually allowed to vote for the mayor and it was a big to-do. I remember my mother was not pleased.
You weren't allowed to vote?
I've never heard of that. If like you're in such a rural area, you don't get a vote for the mayor?
There is no
because
mayor.
We weren't, there is no mayor. Because Montgomery County was technically like, they hadn't zoned. It was a weird thing. It was one of those things where they didn't care about the country people falling through the cracks. Mm. Anyways, that's another story for another time.
Yeah.
So age 9, I go to Jesus camp and I had this moment where when they had the altar call, I walked down the aisle and I said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God and my personal Savior. And I had this weird as fuck experience that I didn't realize was weird until years and years and years, years later. I had this crazy upwelling of just like the thing was just like love, 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 love. It's like the best way I know how to describe it. And I was just fucking pumped. I was running around. I was excited. Like when people like, you know, when like I was an early Pentecostal before I knew Pentecostals did this, just running around because the spirit was just all up in my body. And people said to me, Kevin, you need to calm down and stop being so dramatic. And I was like, me dramatic? What? It's like, I can't fucking believe I was 9 years old. I didn't say the F word.
I wish you would.
Oh my God, had I been. I did say God damn it in church one time because I spilt pink lemonade on myself during the Wednesday night fried chicken dinner. And my mama took me in the bathroom and swatted me on the butt and said, who told you that word? And I said, Will Smith. And she said, what do you mean? I said, it was on Independence Day. And he said it, and I didn't know, I don't even know what it means. And I didn't. I just knew you said it.
Canceled.
From Independence Day forward.
Refuse to watch his TikToks now.
Don't you dare say that about William.
Well, the famous line wasn't welcome to heaven. It was welcome to earth, which is where his heaven is.
Welcome to earth. Ooh, God. I want him to like say that and like choke me a little bit.
Oof. Oh, I get that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's summertime. Listen.
Listen, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. That's right. So
you have this like, really intense like connection, salvation experience, but it was also unique in that it wasn't a super like, I don't know, traditionally Christian thing. You know?
Yeah, it
like,
wasn't.
Love came through. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I thought that's what everybody else was experiencing too, in some way.
Yeah.
Now, what I think is interesting is I was experiencing love. I think a lot of people around me were actually experiencing shame now that I look back on it. Is that it's like they I remember like, you're so, you know, God had to die for you. Jesus, God had to kill Jesus for you. And so like we had that from an early age. And I just, but this experience I had of just like outpouring of the Holy Ghost, whatever it was. It was amazing. And then I also learned very quickly that there are certain things that you're not allowed to do in church. And there are certain questions that weren't okay. And that like, there was like spiritual giftings weren't actually a thing anymore. It was very strange because as I grew up and got older, my conversations with God were like, I would have a conversation. I would ask God a question and I would hear an answer. And I was like, oh, okay. That's how I like talked. Like for me, just like 9 to 14, that's how I talked to God. I thought this is how everybody talked to God. Isn't that weird?
Well, I mean, it sounds like what we all think it would be, I guess, but never really is. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the wild thornberries. Oh man, I've been thinking about that show recently. I'm sorry. So
it always grossed me out for some reason.
Because they all looked Cassie.
They looked insane.
Yeah, the actual style, it was like the same style as Rugrats, where everyone's hair was out. He was like Picasso, smoked a little bit, and then like drew a children's cartoon. Yes. It was amazing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, high school, I hit it. We're in the youth group. We've moved to Virginia. We now live in a very hoity-toity town. We are now middle, very, very upper middle class. I go to high school, I get up in there, and I'm also very active in the youth group. I'm also going through a very interesting Avril Lavigne phase. So, like, you know, like the pop punk, like goth, but like Hot Topic goth. When she was the thing, I was figuring out that I was a homosexual. And so all those like very, very like, I'm different, I'm not a part of it, just like very, it spoke to me in a lot of ways. My family didn't take, my brothers didn't care. Like I was just like a weirdo to them. And like, I was like 13, 14. So they didn't take me seriously because I was 13, 14.
And they were all older than you?
Two older, one younger. Ryan was definitely cooler than me for a long time.
The younger one?
Yes. Like definitely just.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I won. No, that was college when I won Homecoming King. But in high school, I was this close to being prom king. I'm
Let
not.
It go, Kevin.
You were the Hillary
Listen,
of prom
it's
kings.
So long ago.
Won the popular vote at the time.
Electoral college.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what happens when you assume it makes you a 2016 Democrat. That's for sure.
Spicy, spicy.
So high school, I get there, and in Miss Triantafylos' Art Foundations class, I see the boy who, in my mind, is still the hottest boy ever, Robbie. And Robbie has got this... He's tan and he's got this like sick ass jawline that Jesus carved himself. Bright ass white teeth because he got braces probably early on. Curly brown hair, skinty jeans. Like he's one of them like pole motherfuckers out there that like you could like snap like a twig.
Yeah.
And just he skateboard, he was so hot. I was like, oh. And also there was like, oh shit, at the same time. Cause like I noticed him, right? And I noticed all of these different things about him. I was like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. Because I'm a Christian, and I've grown up in the South, and I know that you cannot be gay and Christian. And so what do? Keep it mostly secret. Tell a couple of my girlfriends. Kind of like live a mildly double life between home and church and school with my friends. Never dated anyone. Just like flirted a lot. MySpace was a thing. So I was like talking to boys from other high schools, so there was like not a big chance of crossover. Kept it secret for about a year and some change, but also like I've always really been this kind of like glittery, if you will, mm-hmm. Whether or not it's been on my face or on my body. People were calling me fag all the way back in like sixth grade. So like they saw it before I did. I was a good Christian, so I didn't deal with that. I didn't do that.
In that year space, it sounds like you kind of already knew, like, this is fine for me personally. I know, like, everyone else is going to feel something about it. But it sounds like you were already like, listen, I'm just going to go ahead and live this way. I'm a Christian and I do this and this is okay with me.
Yeah, I really was. That's the thing. Is it like, the more I gave to it, it was like, yeah, this feels good. This feels okay. Yeah. But enter fear tactics and hell.
Very familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know. My daddy and I got into a big old fight, and it was over. Like, I wanted to study theater, which, like, gay, first of all. But I wanted
studied
to study
theater for a semester.
Gay.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. It's my favorite. It's like, I love being gay. It's my favorite thing about me. Anyways. We get into this, like, I'm a sophomore in high school at this point. I'm like, why are we talking about college right now? Like, we have a little bit of time, but apparently, like, he was very, very afraid that I was going to try to become an actor or some shit like that. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was in high school. Like, I was just like, I was thinking maybe it could be fun because it seems that I'm kind of good at this one thing and I'm not good at anything else.
Did you have performance outlet stuff in church, in youth group? Did you do skits or worship team or anything like that?
Worship team from age 16 on, because that's when I really learned how to play the piano. From the time I was in kindergarten all the way through seventh grade, the Christmas cantata was directed by my mother. And I'm not saying that there was any nepotism that happened with her sons getting the lead role in literally every fucking show every year.
He's just talented, okay?
We were all really good. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. My brothers, we can all sing. We can all act decently.
Fun.
Or at least like be on stage and be entertaining.
And Maude Apatow earned that role in King of Staten Island.
And
she
This Is 40.
Earned it. There was nothing else going on. It was just an audition process.
Absolutely.
Like anyone else.
Like anybody else. My mom loves to tell herself that. But we all know that there was... I mean, I know that I'm amazing. My brothers are okay. But me, like, I understand why I got the lead. Sorry. So we were doing, that's when I started. And I was, like, in the Clarksville Children's Choir. And then I was in, like, All City and All State Choir. Yeah. So during that fight with my dad about wanting to be an actor or whatever, I get really upset. And I just, like, shut down. And I think that was, like, the beginning of, like, that's the first time I remember ever really shutting down and like dissociating from what was in front of me. And I think my dad saw it happen and was like, oh, fuck, I did something. I broke something. Because that was the only time he came up to my room and apologized to me later. Only in his entire life, the only apology he ever gave me. And it was wild because he comes up to the room and then he's just like, I'm sorry you said those things. And then he's like, is there a problem? Like, I think like, you know, there's other things going on. And is there a problem with drugs? And I'm like, no. Like, who the fuck? What? No.
I would die if I took a drug.
I know. It's like, is it a problem with girls? And I'm like, no. Okay, no. What do you want? And then he's like, is there a problem with sex? And I was like, kinda. And then he was like, Kevin, are you gay? And I say, kinda.
And
I'm kind of gay.
Yeah.
I didn't identify it that way. I just knew that I liked boys. Maybe I was bisexual.
Yeah.
You know, but just like, I was really afraid because I'm just like, in that moment, I'm just like, this is it. This is the moment my dad is going to kick me out of the house. This is the moment that I've dreaded. And here we go.
Yeah.
He didn't, thankfully. He actually was like as understanding as a conservative cishet parent can be without being completely horrible. But it was pretty bad. And I couldn't look at him. I felt very shameful.
Yeah.
And then he told my mother against my wishes because I knew that she would freak the fuck out. And then she went and got a book from Lifeway Bookstore on homosexuality in the Bible, which had a number in the back of it to Exodus International Ministries, which connected us to a local office in Richmond, Virginia. And then the following day, we were in a truck driving up the way to Richmond, where we met a woman at a nondescript, very creepy building that we went up to and then signed a paperwork stating that we understood she was not an actual licensed psychological professional. And then I cried in her office about how I didn't want to be gay and go to hell.
You know, and unrelatedly, RIP to Exodus Ministries, which no longer exists.
I hate seeing small businesses die.
Yeah, that's one of the saddest casualties of COVID-19 is small businesses like Exodus International.
Oh, Kevin, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that was going to take you to Exodus Ministries.
Oh, that was funny. Oh, my God.
Notorious at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't know. We didn't know at the time. This was like heyday X Gay Ministry times. I bought in. Like, I really bought in. Mm. And so 12 years on and off, going to different groups and then like cycling between sometimes, you know, making out with some random stranger and then feeling really bad about it and then cycling back to it. I'm in college. My parents get divorced. I like middle finger to God, get a little wild, and then join a fraternity and start therapy and go back to church at the same time. This is now junior year of college. Wow.
You just decided to turn it all around.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I was trying to find a lot of belonging, but like it was 12 years of policing myself and trying not to act. Like, you can see pictures and video of me from that time period, and you can see me suppressing myself. It's the most wild thing. And I had a friend the other day. I guess they're not really a friend. We haven't talked in years. But former friend from my past life who sent me a picture from her time hop and said, "Oh, I miss you, friend." And it was a picture from me standing in her living room. And I looked at that picture and I wanted to respond. I was severely depressed and I was also addicted to having your approval at that time. I think it was this. I look very unhealthy here. I know you don't miss me. Oh, well, let's not get on to that. That's another rant for another time.
Did you say that? Did you say, "No, you don't miss me"?
No.
Okay.
I said it on Twitter.
Okay.
But she's not on Twitter. So I get it in my head in college as a Pentecostal fraternity man that I'm going to go be a missionary.
Which fraternity, by the way?
I'm a proud brother of Sigma Phi Epsilon.
Ooh, okay.
1901,
Alpha
baby.
Alpha Phi over here.
Oh, my God. I love an Alpha Phi. Bitch, come
really?
On.
Really? No one loves Alpha Phi.
I really. No, Alpha Phi on my campus was bomb. Loved great. Alpha Phi. Alpha
it was Phi good on our campus, just going to say, but it just doesn't have a great national reputation. But it was great.
I wasn't in a fraternity, but I am a beta boy.
I don't think I know what that means.
Oh, Caroline can explain it to you.
You know how some people are alphas?
Oh my God.
It's like some tops and bottoms.
Some fraternity or sorority called alphas.
But like a social top and a social bottom. Yeah. I mean, like even within like a heterosexual... Yeah, even within a heterosexual relationship, you give me lovely bottom energy, and I think that's lovely.
Oh yeah, I want to put out LBE whenever I can. I think that's my strongest asset.
Absolutely. Oh, come on, assets. Oh, that's a different podcast for a different time.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Now I go around the world and I try to be...
You said you wanted to be a missionary. How did that happen?
Yeah, I became a missionary because this very attractive man who went to my church invited me to hang out with him. We became really good friends, and low-key I became codependent on him because that's how it works when you're trying not to be gay. And so we developed a lovely friendship. He told me about this thing he did called the World Race, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna go do it. And so I did. And
the World Race?
Is that the world
you go to a bunch of countries in 11 months?
11 months to 11 countries. Hashtag 11 in 11. Hashtag after 11 in 11. Hashtag world race. Hashtag world changer.
That sounds really effective. An effective way of doing ministry. It's
oh my
just
God.
Like drive by. It's just
that's for sure. Bible. Like the communities were deeply affected.
Yeah. It was wild. But like I went over there thinking, because like they talked about miracles on the mission field. Like, you're going to go out there and pray for people and God's going to manifest his power over you. Now, granted, I did see some weird shit on the field. I'm not going to lie. I got my body healed. I prayed for someone and I don't know if their blood sugar was low or if they got slain in the spirit. Because they passed out when I touched them. I don't know. Maybe I'm really holy. Maybe I'm not. But it was so weird. It was in India that I recognized. I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, this isn't Jesus. None of, like, this has nothing to do. Nothing we're doing is actually helping anyone. What the fuck are we doing here?
Was there an inciting
incident?
It was about the second week in. Our entire ministry while I was in India is they carted us around to different villages and we would preach very like out of like just like on the spot. All right, Kevin, you're gonna preach. You guys want a sermon right now? And of course, like, I can spin a yarn and, you know, do whatever I need to do, but like these people like treated us incredibly well. They honored us in amazing ways, and I'm not here to downplay the honor that we received from a culture that is steeped in like honor and shame culture. However, the thing that we did not communicate to them was that we are the same. Was that white colonial Christianity actually came in here and stole your faith from you. And it's telling you that there's only this one way to do it. Now, granted, I was a Jesus freak at the time and just like I felt very weird. I felt so weird about the whole thing. Because at the end of the day, I'm just like, these people don't have food. What the fuck am I doing here telling them about Jesus when they don't, like, I should have brought them some food. That would have been more useful. And yeah. It just started to click with me that this was wrong. And then I stayed for a lot longer than I should have. And so fast forward to my 7th month, I'm a team leader and I'm feeling really shitty and suicidal. And they basically tell me, if you just press in, like the Lord's going to help you out. And I'm like, oh my God. And that's when my RA brain from college went off and said, when somebody says that they're going to kill themselves, you should probably like, I don't know, not.
Tell them to lean into it.
Yeah, don't tell them to lean into it. And so I got my my ass out of there, got home, still was depressed. I attempted twice, survived twice, rock and roll. Shout out to whatever angels kept me safe. And to my ancestors for getting me here. I love you. And so I got to, after I woke up the second time, I said, okay, like either I need to learn how to be celibate or maybe God's going to do one more try. So I went and worked for Adventures and Missions for a time. Oh, got a girlfriend, leaned into it, realized as I was dating her that I couldn't do this, that I was definitely super duper gay. Well, at the time, I thought it was very gay. I thought it was very monosexually gay, but it's a, you know, like everything, it's a gray cloud. Or not really a gray cloud. It's more like a rainbow mist.
Ooh, rainbow mist.
But we break up. I start my coming out process because the same time that I broke up with her, there was a queer Christian conference coming through Atlanta. And a guy that I matched with on Tinder, whose name is Brett Trapp. I don't know if you've ever heard of Blue Baby's Pink.
Mm. Yes.
Not, he would be that Brett Trapp.
Wow.
And I matched on Tinder and he invited me to this conference and it changed my fucking life.
Oh, that's lovely.
I swiped right to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So at that point you were open to it and like,
it was like, I had no choice. It was just like, yeah, I was like, I had deconstructed all the things because it was just like, you guys keep telling me to follow the Holy Spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit. And I keep listening to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is like, dude, you're fine. You're fine.
There's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong. You're great. Yeah. Just stop. Just keep, what are you doing? I didn't ask for this. So my life changed forever. I got kicked out of the organization. Like the position they created for me as a writer on staff went to somebody else who is a fine writer herself. When I left there for Atlanta, the best thing that, let me tell you what, this is why I believe in God for so many reasons, y'all. When I left that place, I moved in with my friend Casey. And Casey was with me on the world race, and he was also not gay when we were on the world race together. And so we lived in a shitty basement apartment together. I slept on an air mattress for 6 months. The roof ended here, mere 2 inches above both of our heads. And we both worked minimum wage jobs until we could figure out what we wanted to do. And since then, which was about 6 years ago, my life has been wild and crazy. I got into a really weird relationship. I was super codependent. My dad died. I started seminary and finished seminary. I wrote a book. I started falling more in love with spirit all the time.
With spirit,
I discovered I know, right?
Do you mean the Holy Spirit in that sense?
Oh, yeah. Holy Ghost, Spirit, God, whoever. Yeah.
But spirit is your preferred way to address what that is.
Sure. I like all, like, Shakti, God, Jesus. Like, for me, like, they're all friends, at least. Mm-hmm. But where I am now in my practice is, like, through studying Christian theology and practical theology at Columbia Theological, I basically realized it was okay for me to not know the answer, to not have like a clear yes, this really, because it's like the more I study like anthropologically how Christianity developed, the more I understand how religion develops in general, and the more experiences I have of, you know, the supernatural, of the divine, of God in my everyday life, which is something that is now part of my practice. The more I recognize, I understand absolutely nothing, and it's lovely. I tell people, they ask me, are you a Christian? And I would say, who do you say that I am? What does my life say about me? I reference Jesus a lot, and my work helps keep queer people alive. And, I'm also somebody who is non-monogamous and smoke a lot of weed. And I drink wine from a can, and I wear lipstick, and I have a beard, and I love gospel music, and I lead worship at a Black queer Baptist church in Atlanta. So, like, I go to protests. You know, I get tested regularly, and I take Truvada as prep. I'm a spiritual director and a life coach. I read tarot. I practice witchcraft under the full moon, and I love my mama. So, like, that's me.
I feel so like I just watched a beautiful short film.
I know. I feel like I'm supposed to stand up and applaud.
Oh my God!
I feel compelled.
Listen,
so good. Just put, we're so put glad it in, you're here.
Put it in post.
Yes.
Aww. Yeah. Thanks for sticking around.
You Thank and Rami you. Malek, you're a fan of your mom.
I love
it's so crazy
Malek.
Hearing you describe your life and how like spirituality in mostly Christian form, but in many forms, has been something that has like. Persisted despite so much like animosity between you and like establishment church in a lot of ways. And like, what do you make of that now that maybe you feel less like you're warring factions, you know?
Yeah. I was talking to somebody else about this I was giving someone a tarot reading the other day, and they were just like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be Christian or if like it's tenable for me anymore. And I'm like, technically nothing's tenable. You know, we don't know anything. And I think that's the thing is, like, I can't know if Jesus literally resurrected from the actual grave, or if, like, in my mind's eye, when I'm experiencing, like, deep spiritual visions, and I have them a lot because I'm a freak like that, I don't know if any of it's real. Here's a holy text moment for me from the Gospel of Harry Potter, book 7, chapter, it's one of the later chapters. Oh, I wish I had
before JK's crimes.
Yeah, before she was canceled.
The crimes of JK.
Read away.
Come on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, chronologically, it checks out. Yeah. We just can't read her new works.
Yeah. Also, apparently, like, nobody wants to work with her anymore. I'm just like, girl, it's so hard to, like, not be transphobic. It's so easy to be nice.
Yeah.
Incredible stuff, JK.
But so... Harry Potter rolls out to the forest to meet Voldemort because Voldemort's like, if you don't come out here, I'm going to kill all your friends. And he's like, nah, don't kill my friends. I'm coming. Oh, sorry. And he gets out to the forest and Voldemort, Avada Kedavra's him. And they go to this train station, right? He's sitting on the bench. Dumbledore's there. And they're chatting and blah, blah, blah. And the last thing they say is, he says, Dumbledore. And Dumbledore turns around and says, was all this in my head or... is any of this real or is it all in my head? And Dumbledore says, well, of course it's in your head, Harry, but does that mean that any of it's not real? Mm-hmm. And so when I think about all of these experiences I'm having, I'm just like, I mean, native cultures, a lot of native languages from the Native Americas don't have a word difference between your thoughts and your imagination, because to them it's the same thing, because they understand the imagination is the place where the spirit actually lives and plays and heals. I don't really know where I was going with that, to be honest.
I think just in the sense of, I think yeah. And Caroline was speaking to your,
I
don't know if the right word is adaptability, but it might be fluidity
yeah.
with this stuff mm-hmm. and not being threatened by incorporating
yeah.
any mm-hmm. parts of life or spirituality or culture
yeah.
into a different kind of faith or a bigger idea or vision of what God might be for you.
Yes, that's it. Because I don't think, because like Jesus is still my teacher, which I don't really know how to qualify that beyond Jesus is my teacher.
I just love hearing, yeah, how you reconcile it now and like
it's all mystery.
It would make so much sense too if a huge part of you was just like, spirituality is fucked. I don't want to be a part of it. Like, it is twisted, or it's I need to go find a different one completely and just like exercise this whole experience out of my life.
And that's the thing, is like, some people would call me a Christian. I don't know if I would call myself a Christian. Like, because that term is kind of fluid, or at least a little hazy.
Yeah. Because, well, it's not like, oh, you've embraced the Christianity of your youth now, and like, it's reconciled. Like, you definitely have to reject like a lot of that.
Listen,
sure.
Jesus said, if you do not hate your father and mother, come on, somebody. Oof.
Yeah.
That's also just like, for a witch, I reference a lot of Bible verses.
Yeah. Oh, second witch we've had on, between you and Jamie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just had her on my podcast. Oh, Jamie's also one of my good Judies too. Oh, I love her.
Do you want to explain to Caroline what a good Judy is?
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought Kevin didn't know either, and I was
It's okay. So, good Judy is like your good girlfriend, your good friend, and it's based off. So, back in the day, as code, it was like, "Are you a friend of Dorothy?" Was like code word for, "Is you a homosexual like me?" And if you were a friend of Dorothy, then you could go to like the gay bars and stuff. So it's like, that's my good Judy.
Oh, that's
so great. Judy Garland. Mm-hmm. You're my good Judy.
Caroline's favorite movie of 2019.
Oh,
it's a good movie, Kevin. I don't care what Vulture told you to believe about it.
Whoa!
Over.
Fun movie. Great time.
Oh my
it's not
God.
Rainbow. It's actually very sad, but it's amazing.
Way up high.
I'm Judy.
You know what? You're going to be outnumbered, I believe, on the Judy movie train here, Kevin. So get out of here. Kevin Porter, not Kevin Gerstle.
Gracious.
This is homophobia happening to me on the show.
Yeah, I am a friend.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, basically, if you don't like Renelle Zantwanger, you don't like the gay community, and that's just how it is. So
we don't make the rules here.
Tread carefully.
Yeah. You know, like Cold Mountain, then you're basically building Stonewall back up.
Well, I mean, Stonewall wasn't an actual wall that got torn down. It was just a bar.
Yeah. So they would be building a gay bar, which is good.
Yeah. So if I want to build Stonewall back up, indeed.
I was just trying to do whatever is the reverse of throw a brick at it.
Take their bricks away.
Old? I don't know. Yeah. Kevin, thanks so much for sharing your story, friend.
Sharing your story.
Yeah. It was wild times. Thank you for listening. I know that I was really long winded. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
It
wasn't long enough, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Do you want me to keep going?
No, I need to pee really bad.
Okay. Well, let's take a break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I
first
agree.
Month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic. Come on, let's go. There he is. There's our elfin prince of adult contemporary easy listening Jesus music.
Our equestrian Christian.
Oh my God.
Come on, let's go.
Man.
Kevin, for you, I know we talked about a few things before we landed on Stephen Curtis Chapman, but what else was like the makeup of your Christian culture or music canon? What'd you listen to? What were you into at the time? What are maybe you still into to this day?
What's interesting is I owe a lot of my middle school music taste, minus Avril Lavigne, to my youth pastor because he was a hardcore kid back in his day. A hardcore kid from Florida, no less. So we got into Under Oath. We got into Reliant K.
Oh, wow.
Anne Berlin, to this day, is still my favorite band ever. And, oh my God, amazing shows. I've been to 12 shows, actually. And I went to their very last show in New York City. Just not bragging or anything, but I love them a lot.
Is Amberlin a metal band?
No, they were more like just really good rock, like verging on pop rock, but a little bit heavier.
Okay, cool.
alternative. I don't think you know about it. Sorry.
Oh, excuse me. Wasn't on the Judy soundtrack. Sorry.
Yeah. And then I think the other thing that was really big is I remember we had cassette tapes, and one of them was Point of Grace. You are Lord of Life, Love, and Other Mysteries. That had some sick harmonies on it, I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. You are Lord of Life,
Bitch.
Love, and Other Mysteries. I find in you all I ever need you to know.
I fucking love this song. Also, I also need to tell you guys that earlier today I was practicing a version of The Great Adventure on guitar, but putting it in a minor key just to see what it would sound like.
Oh, we're my gonna do my that friend later.
Listened not to so it. Great Adventure.
Yeah, it's very like I would have to change the lyrics to make it basically be about Black Lives Matter, because I think that would be totally just
new protest song.
What a high wire act.
Yeah. Anyways, the actual album, The Great Adventure.
Yes.
For me, I actually heard the song The Great Adventure because my uncle, who is also the pastor at our church, would do the special music. Y'all know about special music?
Special music
now?
During oh, the offering. Someone does a yes. solo. Someone does a worship.
Special
thing, yeah.
It's not for singing along, it's for listening.
Yes, listening and appreciating. And my uncle was a pretty decent vocalist in his day. And so he could hit all the notes that Stephen could hit, and it was very lovely to listen to. And so I heard The Great Adventure every single year on Super Bowl Sunday, ironically, I think.
Oh, okay.
The Great Adventure was a touchdown.
It's kind of a sporty song.
Yes. And also, funny enough, so one summer when my mother was putting together the VBS, it was an Australian-themed thing.
Okay.
Our church went all out. I just want to say I've never had a more successful and amazing VBS experience. In my mind, it was the most magical thing in the world. Looking back on it now, well decorated. Everyone at my church got into it. They were actors and like everyone.
Fun.
There was themed snacks. And now all these people
are half-assing it. It was like immersive theater.
Basically. 100. My mother was, let me tell you what, my mother's a genius. To this day, love her to pieces. What am I talking about? Stephen Chris Chapman.
That's right.
Great Adventure.
Great Adventure. Oh, we used it as the theme song, and we all sang it along every single night as like a congregational song.
That's so perfect.
And we had motions, and it was cute, and so it's burned into my brain because it's in my spongy years.
What was your motion for saddle up your horses?
It's so saddle up your horses. Yeah. We got a trail to blaze.
Whoa.
Through the wild blue. You know, hands across face. God's amazing grace.
Oh, this is gorgeous.
Let's follow on. We're marching into the glorious unknown. Through the glory. Oh, the song's a bop. I don't care who you are.
But unfortunately, listener, you can't see it at home, but Kevin's choreography did end with a white power symbol. That's very offensive.
Oh, my God. I did not know.
During Follow the Leader, too.
I know. Oh, how the very disgusting.
You're right. Damn. You guys, I repent of my white supremacy here.
Okay, we forgive you. Fine.
Oh, it's okay.
We forgive you.
You're listening and learning.
Kevin and I forgive you.
Thank you on behalf of the community, which needs to render me.
That didn't happen. Now, speaking of which, do you know when The Great Adventure came out?
92.
June 19th, 1992.
Ooh. Oh.
No!
So,
gag me.
Now it's possible that Stephen Curtis
Chapman... It's part of a long history.
It's... Or maybe, no. Maybe he just hates Mondays. Maybe he's a Garf head.
Maybe he's a Garf
like the rest of us.
Maybe he's a Garf.
Kevin, as you may or may not know, June 19th is also Garfield's birthday.
Wait, he loves Garfield. He doesn't hate Garfield.
Perhaps.
Well, what? I know Garfield's a cat, but like, he's...
Are you asking Kevin to explain Garfield to you? Because
no, I'm thinking because like I, because no, like, no. I know about Garfield, but just like I've heard conversations about different cartoon characters. Like no, that character's black, even though they're like blue or something or green. You know, like characters in Doug.
Yeah, Garfield Garfield is not canonically black.
This is reminding me of the Wicked tweet.
I just you ask when you don't know, and this is me asking when I don't know. Because as somebody
that's a
who
great
is
question.
as someone who's white passing but mixed, you know, you can't fool anyone. Ginger, he could have been Mexican. We just don't know.
I caught myself for a second today wondering, like, is my cat white? And then I was like, oh, you're a dumbass. Go back to work.
Is my cat white? Oh my god.
Oh god. It's so good. I mean, so questions stupid. That need to be questions need to
so
be asked.
Stupid, you guys.
The great adventure. Yeah.
No, Garfield,
great unknown.
I think no ethnicity implied with Garfield. Garfield.
I think white implied for sure, right?
Because of Bill Murray doing the voice in the movies, including A Tale of Two Kitties.
And whoever voiced Garfield in the
That would cartoon. Be Lorenzo Music. I believe he was also a white gentleman.
Mm. Yeah,
and if he's not, well,
but Elmo,
I got some tweets coming. My Elmo was voiced by a black gentleman for a majority of his run thus far. Before
also Bert and Ernie, definitely gay.
And, oh yeah, and I think of Ernie as black just because of the Melodies from Heaven video we've watched, where Ernie is Kirk Franklin.
It's Kirk Franklin.
Oh,
this is confusing. God. You know, I yeah.
Gracious.
Oh god, we're gonna get canceled.
But Stephen, we're gonna say it's because it was a celebration of Juneteenth.
Yeah.
And he wanted to declare
And what better way to celebrate Juneteenth than this
the prologue
gospel soul funk music that opens up the album.
I mean,
the old
guys
standard.
He did have a rap song on here with Toby Mac.
That's
true. Oh, we're
going
to get to that.
Oh, that might have been a hate crime. Yeah.
This whole album, by the way, I feel like we've listened to throughout the course of GCF. Like, there were so many touchstones in this album.
Well, there's only two. We've heard Great Adventure because that's just like a... That's just
classic.
We heard the Got to Be True. We also heard the prologue because I remember you having some story about listening to this in your mom's van and it being like a powerful
inspirational moment.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
no, I think that was a guest.
I don't know. I'm saying me.
Oh.
I think that might have been Travis McElroy.
Oh, yeah, it might have been a guest. Okay.
But this drop. That's like the CCM equivalent to the snare drum that opens up Like a Rolling Stone by Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gonna be a Goofy movie.
It reminds you of what?
Today, a Goofy movie song.
Oh, Powerline?
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh.
This is a creep.
Another time around. What? What you gonna try to do?
I love this part.
What'd you open up? Who'd you read?
It was me.
Was you a prisoner? But what did God do? My God. And this is the part where he did LSD. Right here. He saw a field in front of him. Oh, Frontier, excuse me.
Let's go.
Who said it? Disembodied voice?
I mean, an unimpeachable song, I feel like, as far as like the CCM stuff.
It's so good. It's so good. It's like one of the few songs I think I've ever heard that's like makes Christianity seem like a fun activity.
It's a fun song. Yeah.
Finally. It's an adventure, saddle up, like there's unknowns, there's frontiers. I'm getting frontier
and also,
vibes.
It's very singable too. Like it's just such it's a fucking catchy lyric.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way, it's perfect marketing, and you're right, Caroline, in the way like that it affects you is kind of like the point that it did make it for children or like people singing it in Kevin's congregation. Like, yeah, Christianity isn't just some like musty thing you do on a frickin' Sunday. It's like
it's not a chore.
It's an arc that you're
it's
going
not on. A religion, it's a relationship.
I love this song. I could listen to it over and over. I think that it's such a funny pairing, like the prologue and then this song, and then the rest of the album is like not a lot of cool instrumental, like sweeping nothing else. Songs.
I'm gonna say something that could be
in the middle of it. Yeah.
I want to say something controversial. I think he shot his load with the first two. He shot his load
for
and everything.
Sure.
Was,
oh,
well, like, no.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not that good after it. It's like, also, I liked the prologue into it because, like, have you listened to Chromatica by Lady Gaga? She's got these little prologues in between. I feel like, what if Lady Gaga is having a throwback to Stephen Curtis Chapman? You know what I'm saying? Prologues.
Oh, I mean, I feel like you can trace all pop music back to.
I really think that, Lady Gaga has been influenced. By Stephen Curtis Chapman's use of prologues before different sections of the music.
Can you imagine if either of them covered the other? Could SCC do? Well, I guess he could do. What if he did that song where she sings about jerking off on Joanne? What's
Angel
that
Down?
Called? What's the one where she sings about J&O? Where
she's, on Joanne?
Yeah.
Oh.
She does. She has one, I promise.
I'm not being a very good gay right now. I've been listening to a lot of, I'm a Janelle Monáe gay. That's where you can, like,
I think it is being a good gay to not know Joanne that well.
I mean, see, I liked Joanne, but
I think Joanne
it's like,
is great. Yeah,
you know, she had some good on it. I like John Wayne, but also then I found out John Wayne was a crazy, horrible racist, and I feel really, really sad because I grew up on his movies. But
you know, unfortunately, I think someone said this on our podcast, anyone who made their debut in black and white was probably racist.
Yeah, it's
pretty
unfortunate.
Safe bet. Probably kind of sexist too.
Yes,
I would like to bring to our attention,
please.
The song. Well, we got to be true. We have to talk about that. But I actually listened to Heart's Cry, and I actually really listened to it because at first it sounds like a gay love song.
Oh,
I'm not even fucking kidding you.
Okay, let me look at these lyrics.
And then second verse, it's like, I'm such a terrible sinner. So like, it's. Look up the lyrics if you can find it. If you want to.
This is my heart's cry. I want to know the one who saved me.
If someone was singing this to me, I would hard on.
What if it was Stephen Curtis Chapman? Still?
To be so close to him.
He cute though? That all my life.
I mean, I'm lonely right now. So.
He was the first creamfluencer.
What did you say, Caroline?
He was the first creamfluencer.
You're not using that term correctly, and that makes
I think
me
I am I using it just the right way.
I'm a creamfluencer right now, baby.
Just about anybody with the heartbeat is a creamfluencer.
Yeah, what was the other one? Oh, that's Paradise. That's the other one that fucked me up a little bit because it was like it was a wannabe country song, and then he told a completely different story in the second verse, and I was very mad about it.
Oh, that's Paradise is a song about wanting to die, just to be clear. It's about I want to die and go to heaven. Yeah. It's another entry into a long, long storied genre that we've covered on the show.
We've got that genre. We've got the fallen woman genre. We've got a foray into a music genre that you should not try. Hip hop.
They met and married in 6 weeks' time, and that was 60 years ago.
Susie has dementia and doesn't know where she is.
Now, here's what's interesting. Jimmy's drinking.
No. I'm Jimmy. I'm not your son. I'm your husband. And it's just like 12 verses about them trying to have one conversation.
Oh, the notebook.
No, oh, my God. They also say that Jimmy was reading the scriptures with a bottle in his hand. And I'm like, how did that pass?
Oh, complicated man.
Everyone's like, a bottle of water, probably.
That's probably what he had to tell people if they confronted him.
Yeah, a bottle of grape juice, probably.
Can you guys guess which song made me cry?
Yes.
Voluntarily?
Yes. Go There With You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it truly?
That one's actually...
Yeah.
It's actually kind of sweet.
Okay.
It's such a corny-ass song, but the lyrics, I was like...
It is like, I was like...
I think that, like, if my dad got married a third time, I would probably sing that at his wedding.
Yeah. You know? Maybe update the, like, instrumental situation. Oh, I would play it on acoustic, for sure,
obviously.
But
as,
Kevin as said, in, keep it.
You're right.
You have to keep
That's
it.
That's a real skill.
This is such a sweet song. It's such a good commitment ceremony song.
He does these a lot. Oh, he has marriage love songs. Stephen Curtis Chapman is a wife guy for sure.
He loves
is our wife. Wedding songs a genre you've covered?
No, but he's done like I Will Be Here is a you know that song, right? I will be here. Like that's his too.
Oh!
Death would be the only thing that could tear us apart, and now you're standing on the edge of the unknown. I love you means I'll be with you wherever you go. What is the unknown here, by the way?
Death. I think this is to his sick spouse.
His wife's alive.
I know, but maybe she was sick at one point.
Like, she had a cough, and he wrote this song.
He was like... I will live in your memory.
She's like, honey, it's a cold. I am on antibiotics. It's fine.
Oh, God.
Oh my gosh. I love Steven. You means I'll be there with you wherever you may go. No matter how deep a valley you go through, I will go there with you. It's so nice.
He loves his
sick Here's the thing.
Wife.
Like, I'm such an evangelical sometimes. Like, I'll hear, like, this is, because, like, when I first heard this, I didn't register it as a, and maybe this is like, I think this is like, says a lot about like my whole life lens, is that I would hear songs like this and I would not register it as a wedding song. I
would make it about God.
As God singing to me.
God to us.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
Yes. And then also like, this is also another thing, just like, oh, I have to learn how to be the bride of Christ, which is like gay things. So like, I was like, there was a time when I was like totally committed to being celibate because I was learning how to be the bride of Christ and like doing all these like gay ropes.
That's sort of a spouse.
I'm like, this, like, I was so gay with Jesus. That was weird.
Yeah, you're totally gay for the Lord. You know, the one song I like unironically really enjoyed is still called Today.
I was just about to say this.
I thought it was like
BB Winans.
BB Winans. So this is a duet with a gospel R&B Christian singer BB Winans of BB and CC fame.
When I heard, I was like, "Is that?"
They sound good together. And this this could be a Haim song.
God, I wish.
I think this sounds so good.
I think it rocks. I'm a Clip Creep influencer.
Can please that be a new drop? I think this sounds so good. I hear you, though. Stuck in the conscience of someone who spoke a word in anger, and they can't wash away the stain. Sorry, such a hard word to say.
This song fucking slaps. I don't care who you are. Oh, man. They waste away while it is still called today. Oh, we've got to say the words that are longing to be heard. Cause tomorrow may be too late.
This next verse goes out to the daddies.
To who?
To the daddies.
The daddies. Oh, I have a friend in Canada who calls me daddy. It's my favorite thing.
Right, this sounds like I have a girlfriend in Canada, like I would say in high school. Like, yeah, I got someone who calls me daddy there in Canada.
Yeah, I have a friend in Canada that calls me mommy.
It's just my friend Lucas. Like, every time I call, he's like, hello, daddy. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm so lonely. Tell me more.
Wait, Caroline, you think this is literally a song about being a dad?
No, the second verse is about like
your apologizing
little daughter
to your
wants
spouse.
To hear you say I love you, but he doesn't.
But
say
yeah. you're an alcoholic.
But you're an alcoholic.
And
it's
about like walls built between them or something.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
This also, I was like surprised at the message of the song. I stand by it. I love it. You know, like say I love you, say I'm sorry while you still have
time. While it's still called today. Come on, somebody.
Yes, don't put it off.
I was listening to this while in the grocery store today with my mask on.
Thank God for you.
And thank you.
Heaving hard through it.
All the CO2 that went back into your mouth. I'm so sorry.
I know. Now I have CO2 cancer, like my mom says.
That fucking sucks.
I'm so much more dangerous.
R.I.P. Yeah. me in a couple weeks because my mom.
Well, here's the thing. You're a ginger person. I'm a ginger person. You're a Kevin. I'm a Kevin. If you die, I slide into the podcast. I become B-list Christian famous, and my plot to meet Beyonce is one step closer to completion.
Oh my God. I think that hosting this podcast puts you further away from meeting Beyonce.
No, I don't think so. No. Here's the thing. Because
get entrenched in a non-Beyonce zone.
Because because is this a HeadGum podcast?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so HeadGum Podcast is also the same company that hosts Why Won't You Date Me with Nicole Byer.
That's right.
Nicole Byer is very close to Late Night People, and Late Night People are closer to Ellen, and Ellen is definitely closer to Beyonce in some way, I think.
Well, Kevin, you have some good news here, because someone else is pretty close to Kevin on this podcast, or close to Ellen on this podcast.
I think I'm more on Ellen's radar than Nicole Byer.
Than Nicole Byer, for sure.
Unfortunately.
Oh, Nicole Byer, if you're listening to this podcast, I want to come on your podcast, too. Here's the thing. I recognize I don't drink a whole lot, and I've had...
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. This is what it's about.
Absolutely.
This is a communion. But the message of this song was resonant to me because of freaking lockdown. I was like, shit, because it's still called today. And it's like, it's basically the biblical, don't let the sun go down on your anger. But yes, it's also about like, you don't know your time and you don't know when it's going to stop or start. And I think about the months leading up to March this year where I'm like, a lot of stuff I did not do. There's a lot of stuff I did I'm happy about, but it's just like, if I'd known what was going to happen was going to happen, how would I have lived differently? And it kind of like got at those thoughts that are very top of mind right now about like, and you know, that thing that we were all thinking at the beginning of this is like, we're going to go in for a month and then come out. We read books and now we're going to go to the park even more and all this stuff. Now I'm like, life feels over indefinitely. And I didn't really live it for a lot of it. It reminds me of like when I was at University of Texas, my freshman year, I stayed pretty much in my dorm. And then my second year, I like did stuff and I was more in the city and whatnot. And Austin's such a wonderful city, but I really regret that dorm year. I didn't make the most out of it. And now life feels like a dorm year up until March of 2020.
This is the dorm.
Yeah. I will say like, it's really, really hard for me not to be having sex right now. Because I swear it connects to what you're talking about.
Oh no, I believe that.
Well, it's still
so because like exactly because I often something that crosses my mind a lot as a queer human who only came out 6 years ago is like, what would it have been like for me to actually tell Robbie in high school that I thought he was hot, that I found him attractive, even if he like wasn't into me? You know, what would it have been like for me to actually go on a date with the guy I met on MySpace, or like go to prom with someone I was attracted to?
Yeah.
Or in college, like being able to date or like explore sex without shame, you know, in the present moment. I think about all the years that, and I think this happens for a lot of people who come from, you know, conservative or authoritarian religious backgrounds, is we get mad at ourselves because we think we wasted so much time. And it's like, yeah, well, maybe you did. But you're here now, bitch. What do you want to do now?
Well, don't worry, Kevin. I do feel like truly GCF is a monument to sexual regret generally. Truly. I feel like it's a topic that comes up a lot. Are you offended by that, Caroline?
I didn't know whose regret.
whoever wants to air it.
I think that's funny that you had this revelation at the grocery store, and yet you didn't call me and apologize right away.
For what? I've talked to you every week.
Anything.
Just apologize in general. Just apologize in general for like being a man.
Well, today for what you said about Mulan, for one.
I will never apologize for what I said about Mulan. I'll never, ever do it. Or about Judy.
Wow.
Listen to this man yell at Mulan and Judy.
Listen, it's only 1 week past Pride Month. You think that he'd forgotten all about us, you know? The like, gays, who? Never heard of
Take
them.
Take away his trophy.
What are you, Citibank?
I'm not talking about American Judy Airlines? Garland.
What are you all about?
I'm talking about freaking
Target
Zellweger just going for the gold, playing a real lady. It's like, I'm into drugs, yeah, boo, boo, beep, boo. Like, all that shit.
You haven't seen it.
No, I'm not going to. Life is too short.
You don't know what it's about.
I don't want my life to be like this song.
It's too short. Oh, man.
I don't have the time in infinite lockdown.
Yeah, but call people and tell them you love them, you know, or tell them you're sorry if you got to.
Yeah.
Listen to Steven in this moment.
Can we? I really think we need to go to Be True after this, though. I have to.
It's time. It's time.
This has got to be true.
Well, normally at this point, you'd hear me sing and I'd be doing that acoustic guitar thing. So by now you're probably wondering, what's going on? Because this is really starting to sound like one of those rap songs. You see, I like rap music.
Oh my god.
Sometimes I gotta admit, I close all the
doors. I keep singing, but then I crack the hashtag me too to the chorus, which I know I shouldn't.
The boy don't get you see, I grew up in a state where the grass is blue. So if it's gonna be believable, it's gotta be true.
It's hashtag me too. If this could be their new anthem,
just like I'm gonna take the Great Adventure and make it into the gay revolution anthem, you're gonna make this a Me Too anthem. Yeah, that doesn't sound problematic at all.
Can I share a tidbit? We've talked about this song before. It's terrible, and it's like
it's so bad.
It's an audition for Stephen Curtis Chapman to become a fourth member of DC Talk, and the person who does teach him about rap is fellow white rapper Toby McKeon, Toby Mac, apparently
the father of rap,
the godfather of rap,
Jesus
just
Christ,
like
yes.
Marty McFly's the godfather of rock and roll. apparently, what I found in the research, I don't know if it's true, I don't care if it is, that Stephen Curtis Chapman did this song on a dare from Carmen.
Oh no!
If that's true, then I
don't
fucking
you dare
love it.
Utter those names in the same sentence.
If that's true, then I love the song. Because if Carmen dared me to do something like this, I would be like, watch me do me.
I double because dare you to do a rap song, like, Carmen.
I dare you to start a GoFundMe
it's
for
like,
a new
you
leg.
You did a song about Jesus boxing the devil.
Yeah, it was champion.
You think you're dumb? I'm going to show you I'm dumber.
Oh, one of those rap songs.
That's such a bummer.
No. It's incredible.
Oh,
it's like that makes me even more upset that this is on this album. We listened to it in isolation before, where I thought, oh, this is maybe, you know, like a style he does often. Doesn't make sense with the prologue, that's for sure. And it's
Great Adventure,
and
then we're like,
song.
You're making fun of it. You're making fun of it. Maybe.
And then it ends on a like an epic joke.
It ends on a Borat joke. Let me fast forward to that.
You know how we've been saying that you gotta be true? Uh-huh. Well, I think rap music is most definitely you.
Not! Hell yeah.
I have to go home now. I gotta call my
mom.
That
makes
sense.
And
she's gotta pick
Not!
Me up.
It was nice of you to stay this long.
Other songs on this album, Where We Belong, that sounds like a
it's really sad. It's like Jesus hates us.
Doesn't it sound like the sitcom theme from 1987? And you see everyone's
songs too.
It's the purpose and plan for the heart of man. This is where we belong.
Terrific.
Oh my God.
Walk with the wide. Don't let the fire die. That's basically like, Dad, be a Christian again.
Yeah. Dad, be a Christian. Yeah.
Keep being a Christian. Maria.
Maria's sad.
Which is sad. Yeah. I thought that was interesting. His daughter was later named Maria, but this was before they had her.
I thought it was about her. Wait, was it coincidental?
No. This is not about their daughter.
Oh.
They didn't adopt her until like the 2000s.
Oh.
So this song was interesting because, like, it's kind of sounds like a fallen woman song where it's like, usually the writer expresses like either sort of a shamey attitude or like a pity attitude toward a woman who's like made bad choices and needs to be loved but has been abandoned and maybe abused or something. Mm-hmm. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like reading about Stephen Curtis Chapman. Yeah, I was like, I think this guy actually walks the walk of caring about people that have lived through abuse or have lived through like bad situations and actually like cares about adoption. Because so many times those songs are like, well, I'm angry at this individual woman, but I'll never talk about the systemic forces that like brought her to this place, or I don't care about them, basically. Yeah. But I think he really does.
I think he does. I think he does.
I like Maria.
I think it's possible. I think it's possible.
Yeah, well, he's definitely made effort.
Which is better, this Maria or the Maria from West Side Story, that song?
Oh, how... I mean,
you shouldn't write a Maria song, I think, after West Side Story came out.
It's kind of hard. It's like, you ever heard that?
Chelsea or like,
it's like, what's your favorite
Karen
song? Maria. Oh, from West Side Story? No, the one by Stephen Curtis Chapman. Okay, but my real question is, have y'all heard like the 20th anniversary version of The Great Adventure?
Yeah, it's not. It's not what
it's
you
not
want.
Good.
No,
mm-mm. It's horrible.
We did talk about it. I think. Yeah, it's the 25th anniversary adventure. Anniversary edition.
25th anniversary. Which means the first time I heard it was I was 5 years old. This, you trying to pull some Hillsong Young and Free shit here, bro?
They took out all the magic
with Bart Millard from Mercy Me, a Trump loving frickin'
Pence boy.
And I'm gonna. He's like, you're not Coldplay.
Man,
you know, Coldplay. It's still a good song. Like, it just is a good song, but it
you don't
doesn't
need to
make
do
me feel
to
anything. No.
Most songs are more production now than the actual song. Doesn't it feel like that?
Well, Kevin, careful.
What? I said
careful
it.
Careful with those spicy opinions over there.
Spicy.
I hate Joanne.
And also production.
A lot
of
listen.
Too much production.
I mean, like Joanne.
I'm sorry.
It's not.
It was way too strong a feeling.
It's not peak Gaga. We know that.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. What? The first Lady Gaga's first / 1.5 album, The Fame and the Fame Monster. I think she peaked. I'm being honest.
I think that's right. On an album level, I think you're absolutely right.
Yes. Those two as a collection, perfect.
Yeah.
What do you think of Chromatica?
It was written for the gays during Pride and then COVID happened.
Yeah. It felt
it's
like
literally,
it needed to be enjoyed outdoors.
I want to do Molly. I want to have a vodka soda and I want to wear a crop top while listening to this in the club while like some dude's like, do you want some poppers? And I'm like, eh, I'll hold off for right now. That's what I want.
Yeah, that feels like the only way to enjoy that album.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's like, I will say, though, Free Woman really gets me going.
I like Stupid Love. I think it's fun.
I still haven't listened because I skinned my knee while listening to
it. I'm so sorry. I had such a judgmental face on that. I apologize.
That's okay. It's fair.
Yeah. You know what else is fair?
I'm used to it, Kevin, having a judgmental face about my Lady Gaga.
Hey!
Wow. I apologize. On behalf of Kevins everywhere who have been oppressing you, I just want to say, not all Kevins want to oppress you.
Here we go. We're getting the not all Kevins.
There's a path toward healing.
Which
Kevins and wives.
Listen, you know how many times I had to do the not all Kevins after the whole Kevin Spacey thing happened? Too many times.
Kevins have gotten
really bad. I was so mad. I'm just like, House of Cards was so good. Fuck you. God damn it.
Is that a PS Vita? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
I gotta get me one of those for the car. In the first season of House of Cards, there's branded content for PlayStation
Vita.
Oh my
God.
It's incredible. Anything else we want to talk about before we rate the album?
Before we rate it, I would just like to say Stephen Curtis Chapman, as a man who's been in the game for so long, I have a respect for anybody who can keep a career going as long as you have. But at the same time, I'm sure that you have gay friends and you need to stand up for them and stop being a secret ally because you're killing queer people because of your lack of care for us. Amen. And
amen.
I'd rate the album a 7.9.
7.9.
We love an album. I hope you endure forever. And also, you step the fuck up.
Kevin Garcia has switched to the Pitchfork model of ratings.
Listen,
we
there's
also
a lot of room for improvement there.
We can do it. By the yeah, and he, you know, he was one of those people. I checked out their social during the George Floyd protests, and you know what? I'll say it. Not a lot of talk. Of BLM.
Buddy.
On his buddy. And again, it is so fun. It is such like a childlike posture to be like, well, what did Steven say about this?
Steven,
did he say
my great adventurer?
Did he say jack shit? And the thing he posted after the protest was, I'm doing a drive-in concert with.
Did he at least post a black square?
No. No, of course not. That would alienate
buddy.
Their base. They can't even say.
Yeah.
They can't even
say. Well, maybe I'll call Jen Hatmaker. She's a good Judy of mine. I'm like, can we get Stephen Curtis Chapman on the line and we can have a discussion about this?
He's so close. Him and Michael.
Listen,
Michael W. Smith,
her,
Amy Grant.
Jen Hatmaker does the.
Like, it's time.
Jen Hatmaker hosts like the baited version for Christian artists where she just blasts their ass on her podcast.
That would be so nice.
My favorite thing is just like, I covet in my heart of hearts an opportunity to sit down across from one of these conservative voices and just ask, what the fuck? Why?
Yeah.
It's so
especially
easy.
Especially someone
to do
who's
the right
like,
thing.
I love your music. Liked you growing up. Like, you were important to me. I'm not
and also,
a hater.
You seem
you know?
Like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, you seem like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Beth Moore, you seem like a nice girl. Like
Beth Moore. I know.
Girl,
she didn't she kept talking to she kept that dance around like racial justice
when
and baba da doo boo.
I tell you, I was so mad at her because it was like, girl, do you realize that all of the boys that you're trying to play in the sandbox with don't like you and they're making fun of you behind your back?
They don't respect
and
you
in
at
front
all.
Of your face? Girl, just do the thing. Tell everybody that you love your gay friends and that Black Lives Matter. Lose that audience so you can attract a new one and start building up your career. Guess what? We've all done it. We've all lost everything for the sake of the gospel. So what are you worried about?
Yeah. I make a decision to lose all of my audience every day. That's what I
every
do.
Fucking day. Listen, do
we call
something
it the lose and pivot model. It's worked over and over for Kevin Porter, and we hope it continues to go that way.
I think, listen, if I can cancel myself ahead of time, I want to do it.
Hell yeah.
That way
Kevin,
I
did you
know.
Also know that your pipe works as a wand?
Yes. Oh my God.
Okay, good.
Bippity boppity.
Get me out of here, Brenda. I'm
okay, the way this works is we're going to give the album a holy toast, a holy roast, or a space between. Holy toast is a thumbs up. We send Steven to Great Adventure to Heaven. Or we send him down to... Or if we're not sure, we can send him to Purgatory a la...
The space between.
And we'll start with Caroline.
I think I'm going to give it a holy toast. This album is so... cheesy for the most part. Like, the songs are really deeply cheesy and you have to admit that, but they're good and they moved me, and The Great Adventure I think is carrying
so classic.
Everything on its back, like, so it's
literally
pushing through to a toast. So holy toast.
Caroline connects with wife guys. She loved Cliff wife guy. She loved curvy
he's,
wife
he's
guy.
He's kind of one of us, you know.
Oh my God.
All right, Kevin, what say you?
I only because I don't think as a body of work it speaks as a unified voice. I'm gonna give it a middle ground, like, let's go to purgatory and
space
think about
between.
Our sins
before
before we enter
makes
paradise.
Sense.
That's fair. I'm sending it to the space between as well. Just because, yeah, I do like albums like this where there is some
surprised.
Semblance of perspective of, like, Stephen Curtis Chapman singing about. We need to get back to Eden. Eden was so good.
Oh, God.
And
yeah,
him doing his
God,
like
the
low rent Mellencamp stuff. And so there's interesting things. And and he's like, he's one of those guys no one has a bad thing to say about industry wise and people that work with him. So I like it. But most of these are snoozers. I think Walk with the Wise is one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my life.
That I couldn't finish that one.
No, that's unfortunate.
No, the thing about this whole album that's another big critique, and I think we might all, is like the average length of this song is, it's like 5 minutes a song. They're all too long.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Curtis Chapman, 90-second song challenge.
Well, get on TikTok, bitch. You want to reach a new generation for Christ?
60 second challenge.
Come and TikTok. I love TikTok and I always have. We're not the final word, listener. You are. Go to at Christian Fun Pod on Twitter. Give it a roast or toast. Get out there and.
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Ballers.
Surprise.
Ballers?
It makes me laugh every time.
Vote your conscience.
I have to add Kanye to that now.
Now we're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candle. I'm not adding Kanye to that. I love the Sistine Chapel.
My God. Thank God he's running for president, honestly. Sex.
Bless. And we're not here to promote ourselves or our own projects, Kevin. I keep saying Kevin like and down on the left.
Like you're talking to yourself.
Come on, Kevin.
Kevin.
We're here to lift them up to the Lord. We start, as per usual, with Caroline.
Lift me up to the Lord at Caroline's Farts. I guess for a lot of like stuff about my cat. Something you should check out for sure. If your library is connected to the Overdrive app, you can listen to audiobooks for free, or you can read ebooks for free because you rent them through the library. It's great, so definitely check that out. I've been listening to some books. And I also watched Dr. Sleep. Guess what? I liked it.
Did you watch the director's cut or the crappy cut?
No, what is up? Someone else commented on my Letterboxd about the director's cut. And I was like...
It's supposed to be better.
I don't have time. Well, it's perfect the way it is. So I can't even imagine more perfection.
Wait, what's your Letterboxd review? I got something. Ewan Ken McGregor.
Yes.
Like no, but it's implied.
You might like Haunting of Hill House. Same director and writer. I found that show very, very moving on Netflix.
Haunting of Hill House. Yes. Yeah. I kind of like half watched it because Nathan did, and I just sort of like floated in out of the room. That was about as much
I love
as
I
could
it. I think that show is so beautiful. So, all right, Dr. Sleep. Yeah, I've been noticing a little uptick of content. I saw a Space Jam letterbox from Caroline the other day. Mm-hmm. Way to go.
Listen, Space Jam forever.
Yeah.
Oof, God. That's another episode for another time. Cheers.
It's a pretty good movie. It's pretty exciting.
It's got some great messages in it, too, TBH.
I love the messages in Space Jam. We turn it to Kevin. Kevin number one.
Hi, I'm number one?
Absolutely, friend.
Aw, babe, don't butter me up. I'm vegan.
Kevin's number 12.
Yeah, I'm not even number two. I'm number 14.
Oh, my God. Who are these other Kevins? I would like to lift up to the congregation. Once again, my name is Kevin Garcia, and you can find me across the internet at thekevingarcia.com. I have a book called Bad Theology Kills, subtitle Undoing Toxic Belief and Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority, which is available at badtheologykills.com. And in it, we talk about everything from undoing your shame around sex to gun violence to bodies and sex and, you know, just all the good stuff. It's my first book. I'm really, really proud of it. It's sold close to 1,000 copies, which, fun fact, most authors don't sell 1,000 copies of their book. Only about 10%. So therefore, I'm going to be a best-selling author by the end of this month. Beesh. I'm also really proud of it. I think it's the best thing I've ever created. So I think you should go buy it. It's at badtheologykills.com. You can get it for $9. What are you doing?
Do it.
What's the other thing? I've got a workshop coming up at the end of the month called From Miserable to Miracle, An Introduction to a New Spirituality, where I'm talking about some new ideas that I'm developing. You can find all that shit at thekevingarcia.com/events. If you like my talking and you want to hear me talk some more, I talk with people on my podcast called A Tiny Revolution, found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And I talk about ordinary people living revolutionary lives, and it's more bullshit like this. Like, so just come on over.
Some
come on
over, baby. Amazing guests on your podcast.
Let me tell you what. I started that fucking podcast because I wanted to talk to interesting people, and I needed an excuse to get on the phone with them. And a podcast is a great way to do it. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, people will say yes.
It's a wonderful
scam. Insane.
Yeah. Carry on.
That's the other thing, is that, and this is a lesson for everybody. Ask for what you want, you know?
Yeah.
Because guess what?
There is some Pentecostal in you still.
Oh, especially with this music in the background. Let me tell you what. I have 3 rules for life, and this is what I want to leave your people with, because I know that like I was like a total ratchet hoe on here. This is what I want you to hear. There's 3 rules for living. Number 1, ask for what you need. And know that at the end of the day, you are responsible for getting your needs met. Number two, you can always say how you feel and know at the end of the day that you are responsible for your own feelings. And number three, ask for what you want because you can always be okay with hearing no. If you can master those three things, it'll change your effing life. Take your meds, call your person, drink some water, and I love you so much.
XOXO, Gossip Girl.
Yeah, XOXO, Gossip
Girl.
Oh,
that's beautiful.
Wonderful.
The other thing I would like to lift up is the NYX matte white primer. It's a really, really good thing if you like colors. Like I'm wearing like a little, it's like a darker gold situation tonight.
I've been really enjoying it.
Thank you.
But it catches the light, yeah. Doesn't crease?
No. It's really, really good. So like when you, as you create it there, and like I've been able to do like the really, really bright neon colors because of it, because it's literally like clown, it's like the clown white that a drag queen would use, but less oil-based.
Yeah.
So I've been loving that. My friend Evelyn sent me that along with like this giant ass palette. So I've just been bored. I'll do my makeup in the morning and have calls and look like I'm a fancy lady. But the truth is I'm never wearing pants. So
that's anyways. A little high low.
Yeah. So I'm done talking now.
Beautiful. You can lift me up at Kevin Teaport everywhere. Nothing to plug. You know what? You can listen to Inside Voices. That show's done. Just put out the last episode today as of recording.
Congratulations.
This. Or listen to me on.
I'm so sad.
Huh? It's fine.
Inside Voices is a great show that Kevin did.
Tweet a HeadGum if you want more, baby. They can order more. We can make more. But you gotta spam them and
listen,
annoy them.
This is
annoy
listen, them.
We've never asked our audience to spam anything.
It's never happened.
Get Kevin another season.
Oh, and I was on the Blank Check podcast. You can check that out. I talked about the movie Michael. That was really fun with a friend of the show, Griffin Newman, who was on here a few months ago. And nothing else to lift up. What am I going to lift up? The Muppets? I can lift up this Muppet. Okay.
Yeah, I want to lift up.
Set yourself up.
But real talk, before I get off the line with you, I want to say to both of you, I've had such a fun time with you both. You guys have given space to so many people to experience a deeper side of their spirituality. And it's really beautiful to just be able to like look at my past and laugh a little bit. Sometimes like I get on podcasts and it's just like, oh, my life is so tragic. Let's talk about sad stuff. But like being able to giggle, especially at a time where everything is such bullshit, hard stuff. And yes, we got to deal with all that stuff. Laughter is important. Joy is important. And what you guys do here is important because you cultivate joy for people where there's not a lot of joy. So don't think that what you do is unimportant, okay? And I'm really thankful for what you do for me on a weekly basis. And I love you. And thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm not crying right now, if that's what yes. you're thinking.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we love you too, friend.
Thanks for doing
wow.
the show,
thank you.
Kevin.
It's nice just emotions taking me over.
Well, we're going to write our mission statement.
Yeah, that's Kevin gorgeous. Said. We're going to saddle up thank our you. Horses and get the heck out of here. But
hell yeah.
There's nothing left to say except for, and all Pod's people said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go out on the Song of Songs here. There's nothing else Jeez. We could possibly do. Ugh. Oops, I had the 25th anniversary version queued up. No,
how
thank
dare you.
You.
Kevin!
My bad.
What a mistake.
Okay, real talk. I heard this at a Winter Jam one time when he was headlining, and it was so good live.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Everyone, make sure to saddle up your horses. I don't think they can get coronavirus, so, you know, take that mask off and have a good time.
Saddle up your horses all the way to the polls.
That's right. Don't forget to vote, and thanks for listening.
All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.